but I think we need each other. So I don't believe in equal rights and equal strength and equal everything. By the way, it's a falsehood. It's the biggest false narrative that we have today.
There is a man who was looking at me and looking at me and looking at me. And in me, I said, I'm sure Allah knows, he's probably like, what is this woman? Whatever. And then, la ilaha illallah, that man comes and sits next to me. I said, if I see you and I know what size dress you are wearing, then you need to look at, maybe you are not following exactly what Allah wants.
He was a priest.
Yes.
So this is a priest sitting next to you on the plane.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
Good, alhamdulillah. Allah, thank you for finding the time to be with us here on the Deen Show.
And thank you for asking me to be on the Deen Show.
Yeah.
Inshallah, you had a blessed Ramadan.
Yes.
A blessed Eid. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So we'll get right into it. I wanted to go ahead, and there is a big movement now. And it's interesting that it's not from Muslims. It's actually from non-Muslims. But if you look at it, you would think that it has much more in common with Islam. So I'm going to show you a video, and we'll get your reaction to it.
Feminist, get off my app. Femininity is what the gentlemen are looking for on my app, and you're going to have a much more success on my app. Femininity is so powerful and amazing and awesome.
You don't think you can be feminine and a feminist?
No.
How come?
It's an oxymoron.
What about the definition of a feminist is just someone who believes in equal rights between men and women?
I don't believe in equal rights between men and women.
How come?
Absolutely not. I work with Navy SEALs. You think I could keep up with those guys? No, and nor would I want to. Can I shoot a gun? Absolutely. Do I sleep with a gun? I do. A Glock. And I have an AR. But could I keep up with those guys? No. I couldn't, and nor do I want to profess to. But can I teach them things in certain arenas? And I do. But I think we need each other. So I don't believe in equal rights and equal strength and equal everything. By the way, it's a falsehood. It's the biggest false narrative that we have today. If you're a feminist, get off my app. Femininity is what...
Okay, so what's your reaction? When you see that, what are the first things that come to your mind?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa min wala. As you said, it's very interesting, it's coming from a non-Muslim. Because this is what Islam is all about. It is, I think we are abusing words. I don't know why we have to use the word femininity or feminism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it clearly in the Quran. And I always say this to myself before anyone else. Any issue we have, current, related to religion, outside religion, we need, as Muslims, go back to the source. Go back to the source. And what is our sources? Our sources is the Quran, and our source is the Sunnah. Right? Is there anywhere there that does say the woman has to go and fight for her right? Does it anywhere clearly explicitly say that the man is better than the woman? And even I'm sure you're going to ask about it, these verses in the Quran, people misuse it and abuse it, and they don't understand it. So I actually say, maybe a little bit different, I don't need feminism. Islam gave me my right. But my right doesn't mean I have to do exactly everything the man does. Why do I look to myself? My value is what Allah gave it to me, is not what the society tell me. Your value, you're valuable if you can do what the man can do. Did you get my point?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, and I remember one time I got this question, huge crowd of women. And I said, listen, I'm an OBGYN and I deliver babies. So the woman deliver the baby. So if the man doesn't deliver the baby, is the man less? Does the man has to go and look for his right? And then the mother breastfeed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the meaning of, or Islam tells us, al-jannah tahta aqdam al-ummahat. that happens is under the feet of the woman. Or Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked about, when the companion asked him, who is the person who has most right upon me? When he said, ummak, thumma ummak, thumma ummak, your mother, your mother, your mother. Does the father have, thumma abik, then your father. So the father now has to go and look for his rights. Did you see the point?
Yes.
The point is not what I do, the man has to do, or what the man does, I have to do. No, because we are different. We are created differently, physiology, but we are equal in rights and obligation. Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat, wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minat, wal-Qanitina wal-Qanitat. Allah said it. In places in the Quran, He separate. And when he doesn't separate, that means it's equal. I will be rewarded as a mother. The husband will not be rewarded because he did, or will not be rewarded because he did not breastfeed. No, Allah is not going to ask him about that. He's going to be rewarded being taken care of the family. See, this is the point. But it has to be, if he says this, I have to do this. Honestly, this is my personal opinion. I found it degrading to women.
Now, you gave a measuring stick. You mentioned something, the Quran and Sunnah. Do you think now that our compass has kind of gotten off and we're using the society and culture we live in and this push and that is and we exclude shaitan also, that this can a deliberate attempt to try to destroy us, to separate us, to have us fighting amongst each other, and we're trying to compete in the wrong ways? And now we use that, our society and culture. There's some good there, but a lot of things conflict with the deen. And now our measuring stick, like your measuring stick, you said, go back to the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran, and the way of the last and final measure, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That's our measuring stick. But are we measuring, meaning our morals, our responsibilities, you know, what's right and wrong, according to the wrong measuring stick?
Now you're getting to the most important point. It's not only in the feminism movement. It is everywhere, Brother Eddie.
Everywhere, huh?
In our daily life, a man, a woman, a child, a worker, a physician, a broadcaster, are we living by that measuring stick? Are we? No, unfortunately, it's so painful. It is so painful. And that's why I love this statement of Sayyidina Umar. When he said, Nahnu Umma, the meaning of it, A'azzah Allahu bil Islam. We are nation that we are dignified and became dignified by Islam. But we looked for dignity somewhere else, and then we became humiliated. So when I say, does this movement is because we are away from the Quran and the Sunnah, I will say it the first thing. The main problem, or I think it's one of the most important problem, that we in general in our lives, not living by the Quran or the Sunnah, is we don't understand it. We don't look at it as this is the right path. You know, when someone very healthy, right? And they fully believe drinking 8 glasses of water is very healthy. Whatever other people tell them, they say, nope. And you can apply this on anything in life. I think we as Muslims, man and a woman, needs to bring back the conviction and the certainty, the yaqeen inside us, that this is the best way, because the creator of me and you and everything in this earth knows what's best for me and you. I think this is the problem. So when we don't have the source, we don't understand it, we don't think it's important, we don't pay attention to it, and it is not easy to follow it. Now that you have to remember this. It's not easy to wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning and pray your Fajr. It's much easier to sleep till 7 or 8. So then when comes the other option, which is the easiest way, shaitan absolutely comes in. Shayateen al-jinni wal-ins, his servants, comes in, and then we fall to it. And then the glamour around us, you have to know the impact of the glamour we are having around us. everything in the social media, look how beautiful it is now, but there also has a lot of negative, and they impact, and we're not well equipped. Not even the hafiz of the Quran, the person who memorized the Quran, how much is he really, he or she, carrying it? You know what I'm saying? Yes. Applying it. So it's a tough situation, mm-hmm. but there's always hope. And I am a very positive person always.
Yeah.
In everything, there is khair in it.
We have to. That's one of the things that Allah loves, that His slaves be optimistic, right? That we think the best of our Creator, and we try to make the best out of every circumstance. When you're watching this video, now, when you see, like, when they're defining terms, like the one lady saying to be more feminine, and you see more and more women talking about this, because, and then there's a fight between the two. One is feeling like she has to fight for some certain rights, and we know Islam has elevated the status of the human being, especially the woman. We, like you mentioned earlier, you know, paradise being under the feet of the mother. You know, there's such a high level of respect given, you know, to women in the deen, to women just in general. But now a woman is made to look down upon if she chooses to now pursue, let's say, knowledge of the deen, first and foremost, following the first verses that were revealed. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. She looks at that like more as like, that's knowledge of my Lord and my deen first, rather than, let's say, chasing a career. She wants to do it from home, and she wants to be a home engineer. But the society, and now there are women who are pushing and saying, don't make these women look like they're less, they're accomplishing less, because they want to be raising their children, and also at the same time from their home they want to be seeking knowledge, right? They chose that rather than to be, let's say, in the corporate world or whatnot. And she's feeling, sometimes it's a struggle, she's feeling guilty because of that. The society, are you seeing this also, that's affecting?
Absolutely, it's affecting the woman. Let me just go back a little bit. To be fair, is there injustice against the woman inside the homes? I'm saying, is it not necessarily every home? And I'm not talking about us living in the States. I'm talking about in general in the world. The answer is absolutely yes. And I think when an extreme happens, the reaction is another extreme. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you tell, for example, that the daughters cannot go to college, they cannot pursue any knowledge, but the boy can, the response will be, you know what? What we're now talking about is feminism. So to tackle this problem is equality, what Allah gave us, and equality in looking at the, if you want to call it, the job. Mm-hmm. So I give you an example. When I see my patients in the office, and as you know, I'm an OBGYN, so I deal always with the woman. And I ask her, what do you do? And she said, I'm just staying home. This is, look at the answer. I'm just staying home. My response, just staying home? You have the best profession in the world. You're a mother. We don't look at motherhood as a profession, because we define the profession what brings me money, mm. or what brings me status in dunya, in life. You know? And this is not only in this. I'll share with you, it's a beautiful incident happened with me in Ramadan. And this is an amazing, beautiful young lady, mother of two, who is hafizati kitabillah, highly educated, called me crying. And she was saying, I cannot read. I need to read my five ajza of the Quran to review the five parts, because otherwise I'll forget. But I cannot do it, you know? And my response to her, why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or actually, what do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this point when He put you as a mother, as a wife, in Ramadan, where is your main act of worship? Is it in leaving your children and husband and responsibility and reviewing five ajza of the Quran? Then you misunderstood the ibadah. You misunderstood the act of worship. The act of worship, when Allah put you in a position, He puts you in, you become the best abd, servant of Allah, in that position. Now, these are both highly, this is not dunya, but I told her, take care of your children, breastfeed them, give them the love they need, take care of your husband, take care of your home. Whatever time left, you review the Quran. I said minimum at least one juz a day. Then you are in the sight of Allah. As one of the beautiful spiritual imams used to say, قومي حيث أقامك الله. Stand where Allah put you, not where you want to be. So don't look down, because this is how we look at it. I'll give you another example, if you allow me. Even outside women, even men, right? And I say this to all my friends. So if your son decided to go and pursue Islamic knowledge and he wants to become an imam, versus he declined acceptance in medical school, what do you think the response of the family? It's a culture. It's so sad. It's because we value things by the money.
Yeah, yeah.
How much they pay you. I will give you this example. And this is not example, this is true incident happened to me when I was studying overseas, Islamic studies, and I was also working as an OBGYN. Mm-hmm. So I remember very well, I went in the middle of the night to deliver a baby. And I took my book of fiqh because I had tomorrow an exam. And sometimes delivery takes long time. So I said, if I have time, I'll review. A colleague of mine, Muslim, right? Came in, looked at the book, picked up the book and says, why are you doing this to yourself? How much more they will pay you? Did you get the point? When we, the measure is the material measure. When the success is the success of dunya, of this life, if the success is how much like and followers we have, not much how much followers and like Allah has for us, the whole thing changes. Mm-hmm.
There's many stories that are written, and they are, again, even not by Muslims, because sometimes I'll quote the non-Muslims or not yet Muslim sources, because sometimes for people it just hits more home, because now they're just saying, oh, you're just pushing deen on me, you're just religion.
Yes.
No, well, hold on. This is a reality where, for instance, there was an article being written by many women who were in getting up in age, and they had accomplished on the wall, they had their PhDs. They had all the certificates, but they had not pursued the family life, meaning they were in late in age and they weren't able to get married now. They put this off and they weren't able to have kids. They missed that opportunity from the fertility window. And now they were talking about how they were themselves testifying that now they were in such a state of loneliness and despair because, yeah, they achieved, let's say, the PhD, but they didn't have children, they didn't get married, and they were living the last years of their life in such depression. And if they can go back, they would have definitely picked more of the way that Islam is encouraging, husband and wife coming together, being married, obviously chasing, knowledge in the right way and in the right condition. So have you heard a lot of these stories also?
Yes. And I'll tell you my answer. My answer is absolutely different than what you shared, because our lens, we look at things back again to the source.
Yeah.
Everything is from Allah. So when the woman tells me, and actually we had this discussion recently with a group of women, and I said, don't look at yourself. If you did not become a mother, that you are less, or if you have five children but you did not pursue your career, you're less. I'm going to say this again. Mm-hmm. It's whatever Allah choose, because it's not our choices. However, if you by choice said, I don't want to get married because I want to have my career, my answer to the Muslim woman, have you prayed istikhara? Did you ask Allah for this? And if Allah showed you that this man or that man is not the best for you, then that means he doesn't want you to be a mother. Who is much better than a Sayyidah Aisha? Who, any woman other than a Sayyidah Khadija and a Sayyidah Maryam? Do we know? She was not a mother, right? That doesn't mean she's less, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
But Allah, subhanAllah, used her in a different way. So I always, and again, I'm going to say what I said to you earlier. Where Allah put you. So you always ask guidance from Allah. And this is why, if you see, I don't know if you listen to the teachings and the lectures I give, and even the courses we have, I always stress on this, because this is when I learned it as a human being, let alone as a woman, everything in life changed. Everything comes from Allah. Let it be. Do what pleases Allah, not what pleases you as a person or what pleases people. Let it be. Ya Allah, you don't want me to have children? I'm fine with that. Career, this is the usual debate, internal debate in the woman. Career versus family.
Yeah.
Right? And if I look at the man and you tell me if I'm wrong, is it my career versus my deen? Because the career takes a lot of my time. I don't really have enough time to pursue my what I want, even my salah, my daily act of worship.
Yeah.
So this is what I tell the woman. For the man, the answer is obvious. As long as you have enough, your deen has to balance. But for the woman, wait, both can be act of worship. Let Allah choose for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let society dictate on you what is good or bad. Let Allah tells you. Motherhood is amazing state. But a Sayyida Aisha was not a mother, and what a state she had. And a Sayyida Zayn and a Sayyida Khadija was a mother, but what a state she had. Did you get my point?
Yeah.
Let not the society dictate on us what is right or wrong in everything. Let it be Allah and the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yeah. So I'm picking up on specifics, but usually the root of it goes back to a lot of times what you're talking about is us not devoting more time to learning our deen and what
yes.
our Creator wants from us, and indulging more in learning the Quran and Sunnah and from people of knowledge, then we can be more informed and have a better measuring stick, so then our moral compass will be more on tune. And then sometimes from these specifics, sometimes maybe a light bulb can go off, because sometimes there'll be just obvious things that a person didn't think about. For instance, like there are certain injunctions for the man and for the woman. And here we're talking more specifically because we have a scholar in Islam that, you know, specifically can talk to some of our sisters, because there's a lot of confusion out there and whatnot. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his love, he tells both of us to do something, and then a person rebels, but then they'll go to work and then they'll obey the boss and they'll put on certain, you know, let's say an outfit or whatnot, and go through all of the hardship and everything to chase the career and the money, and then obey the boss. But then we fail in obeying Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth.
I'll tell you what. I may have to add to what you said, or maybe rephrase it.
Yes.
And this is going to all the sisters, and this is going to all the brothers also. The question is, can I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dress properly, the way it pleases Allah? And can I be, quote unquote, if you want to use, career woman? Can I be a successful woman in my career, but still obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Most of the time, the answer is yes. And I'm speaking now from personal experience. You will need to put your foot down and put Allah's obedience number one. So let's say there is a party, Christmas party and this is our life here, right? Now my question comes in, is this is obedience to Allah or this is not? If the answer is not, I'm not going. Well, shaitan is going to come and tell me, well, you will lose your job. My answer is, Allah is the one who gives me the job. You put your yaqeen and certainty in Allah. Obey him and absolutely can get your career if he wants you to be in that. And I am an example. Here I am. I am a career woman. I'm an OBGYN. I have my own practice. But alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Right? People tells me, yes, if you have done this or that, you probably would have gone get this and that. My answer is, my focus is not my dunya. My focus is my akhirah. And alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a lot of what other people want. So my advice to the sisters and the brothers, if you allow me, always put Allah's obedience and pleasure number one. And remember this statement, it's a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the meaning of, if you leave anything for Allah, Allah will replace it with something better. Yeah. You leave it, you don't do it, you like it, people tell you that's probably the best thing for your career, you leave it because it's not pleasing to Allah. Allah will give you. Allah will give you better than it. Whether internally you will feel much happier, or whether internally and externally. Mm-hmm. So let's put it this way, which Allah said in the Quran, and I'm going to say it in a different way. أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة. Those who sell their dunya, they sold their akhirah, their hereafter, for the dunya. Let us not be of these people. Mm-hmm. Period. Let's put Allah's pleasure number one. And wallahi الذي أعلاه, and I said wallahi, there is no happiness wherever your bank account tells you, whatever position you have, man or a woman, there's no happiness unless you are have this correct, beautiful relationship with Allah, and peace comes in internally.
What's the difference when you have someone who is going in a particular field and that's to benefit the ummah, where there's a lack? Let's say you want, obviously, you know, a man who has ghira, he wants someone like you to deliver his wife, you know, this is part of our a man's nature.
Deen.
You don't want another man delivering. I mean, you even if you have to drive to another state, wherever the case. So we want it. We need, let's say, a doctor like you. You're benefiting the ummah, right? This is something that's needed, as opposed to someone who is going. And now let's just give an extreme example, and then you can fill in between if there's other. But someone who wants to now compete and say, we need more MMA fighters, right? A woman wants to be, or a boxer, or to be out and competing with men, or a construction worker out there. And now it's not fulfilling a niche where it's needed for a community, but now it's the line of just competing with the man. Even though both men or women shouldn't be in a lot of these sports and box, you know, these things. But I'm just giving an example where sometimes to differentiate the line where A, you have an area that's needed, right? And to benefit the community, and over here to differentiate where it's just for myself, and then I put myself in an uncomfortable situation. Like you had this whole Me Too movement where now they even changed the laws. I mean, they changed a lot of the company statuses where having these late night meetings with men, going to their, you know, leaving alone. They changed this where it's more in line with the deen, but now you chase this career where you're in such, you have to be in uncomfortable situations, mixing with the opposite gender, and you put your deen in a very, you put yourself in a tight, risky situation, an atmosphere.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother Eddie, even as an OBGYN, when I did my residency, right? And here I go. So let's start with the beginning. Woman should be delivered by woman? The answer is yes, as long as the woman who is delivering you is as qualified, she's not qualified, or your case is very complicated and there is a man who is much more qualified, or a non-Muslim woman who is much more qualified, then that's no doubt about it. And that's the deen, that's what we taught. However, to get to that point, do I need to go through some of what you said? The answer is yes. I did my residency and I was surrounded by men. Most of the attendings were men. Half of my colleagues were men, right? But remember your conduct. You are a Muslim woman. You know what I'm saying? This is what I keep reminding people. Keep your identity as a Muslim woman or a Muslim man. لا نخوض مع الخائضين. If they are saying things is not pleasing to Allah, I'm not going to be part of it because I'm a Muslim. If they are doing things disobedience to Allah, I am not going to be even there. So it is, I have to be in reality, but also I have to put the barrier. It is my religion. It is not allowed. It's going to be very difficult in the beginning. I am speaking to you from my heart, Brother Eddie. And whoever is listening to me, is this easy? Absolutely not. You may get difficulty? Absolutely yes. You may lose opportunities? Yes. But wallahi, and I'm saying this again, you do it to please Allah. Don't sell your deen. Dress properly, they will respect you more. Put your hijab, they will respect you more. And I'm sharing with you another personal, but sometimes personal real, right? When I applied for my OBGYN at that time, it was extremely competitive, especially for a non-US graduate.
Dr. Yunus, so tell us, what can a person do to get that motivation? Because when you're grounded in your deen, this is the most important thing. Again, going back to how we started, to have you make the right decisions. You're always connected to your creator, Allah. You're more informed, less chances of shaitan misleading you. What can you give of advice to have someone more motivated to really starting your day with deen, and in between cutting out a lot of the things that are just a waste of time, you know, taking the mothers of the believers as role models rather than the Kim Kardashian show. I don't know if you've heard of these.
I give talks. I have to be up to date.
Yeah, you got to be up to date. But it's a sad reality. Sometimes we're taking the wrong people as examples. So exactly. What do you like to say to motivate people to really get grounded in the deen?
I'll tell you what, Brother Eddie, is what made me learn. Learn about your creator. Learn about Allah, his majesty, everything he does, perfection, his wisdom. The more you learn about Allah, the more you find everything much less significant. I wouldn't say insignificant, but much less significant. And your goal, Allah, and I'm not saying this, these things you don't read it, you don't learn it in books, Brother Ali. You don't. These things, you have to feel it. And that's why one of my teachers used always to say, there is tawheed, you bear witness, there is no God by Allah, and you say it by your tongue, and there is the real one that you see it with your heart. You see that Allah is operating. Learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give yourself, and this, if you see the icon in our Skype, give yourself some time this summer to learn. And I always joke with the ladies and I say, if I'm going to ask you for a recipe now from your mind, you, most of you will give me that recipe. But if I'm going to ask you, tell me how many surahs in the Quran, just give me the number. How many of you will give me the right answer? Knowledge. The first ayah, the first verse, Allah, my creator and yours, send it to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, iqra, read. Let us not spend our time, most of it, I wouldn't say we need some time to breathe, but let's not spend most of the day on she said, he said, follow the social media, WhatsApp, whatever, go out, drink coffee, do this. These are waste of time. Allah will ask us about the time. One of the things we will be asked, especially youth, what did you do with your time and energy? Learn, start, and I will say this to everybody listening to me. Wallahi, we have no excuse this day and age when we are going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will I tell him? There was no one to teach me. There is no resources. I didn't have an internet. Who doesn't have a phone now? Who doesn't have an access to YouTube? Who doesn't have an access to download books? It's just I don't have the desire. I don't look at it as important. That's what needs to be changed. Number one, learn about Allah. Number two, learn about death. And that's what the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam kept reminding his companions. أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Remind yourself plenty of the destroyer of joy. He didn't call it death. Because the moment you see someone dying or dead or you're burying him, do you really care about what car you are driving? Is it going with him to the grave? Remember this and think of the akhirah. Think of the hereafter. This is temporary. I am moving to New York. I'm not going to build a house in St. Louis. And I'm going to put all my energy in St. Louis. That's where I live now. Because I'm going to New York. And if you see someone doing this, you say, are you out of your mind? That's how it is. That's why we have the morning and the evening adhkar. You probably know that. Why? It's in the morning and it's in the evening. You start your day with Fajr Salah and afterward is 10, 15 minutes, remember him. But look at what it is. La ilaha illa ant. Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. The more you do this, and this is not a one day It's not a switch. I always tell people, it's not a switch. You just turn it on. This is a process. A lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make your love more beloved to me than the love of everything else. We had this whole, in Ramadan, we did a whole series about the love of Allah. Every day, something Allah loves. And if I do something Allah loves, He will love me. And if He will love me, He will take me out from all this superficial love to the real love. Learn, remember death, look at the akhirah, and a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including dua for yourself. Who doesn't want to have the best home? Who doesn't? Ask anyone around you, rich or poor. Why do I only want to have a good home in dunya? Why not the best house in akhirah, in Jannat al-Firdaus, highest level, and my neighbor is a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? Change the way we look at things and give, do, and I say this to myself, do yourself a favor. One of the people I used to know, actually I still know, used to send herself, he's a woman, every morning a reminder. You know the reminders we send ourselves on the phone? Do you know what's the reminder, Brother Eddie?
What's that?
The please don't disobey Allah. Dhikr, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind them. Remembrance benefits believers. And a lot of dua to each other. My main dua, for I don't know for how long now. Ya Allah, رُدَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِلَىٰ دِينِكَ مَرَدًّا جَمِيلًا. Bring the Muslims back to their beautiful deen in a beautiful way, in a beautiful return. Alhamdulillah. That's how it is. Look at it not as a complementary. Look at the deen as the essence. Look at your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as number one. Everything else comes next. And that's how they lived.
Yes. Last question. Have you ever had an encounter with a not yet Muslim? I always say not yet Muslim because everyone has the potential to submit to their creator.
Yes.
And that's what a Muslim
yes.
is. One who submits his or her will to God Almighty, the creator, Allah. And have you had an encounter where they asked you about your hijab? And many people don't know that you're imitating Mary, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And most of the pictures that are out there, obviously we don't have her literal picture, but they're portraying someone who looks like you. What do you tell them when they has that work, or has anyone questioned you, or have you had a discussion about it? Well, how do you respond?
I'll tell you what. Recently, it's becoming much less and less because it's becoming more known that this is a Muslim. But I'll give you a true story.
Please.
This is incident happened to me last year.
Yeah.
I was flying before the COVID, of course. I was flying, and as we were waiting, there is a man who was looking at me and looking at me and looking at me. And in me, I said, I'm sure Allah knows, he's probably like, what is this woman? Whatever. And then, la ilaha illallah, that man comes and sits next to me in the plane. And it's 1 hour and a half. And 1.5 hours is all this discussion. He turned to be a priest.
He was a priest?
Yes.
So this is a priest sitting next to you on the plane.
And look how it started. And he was, after this, you're living in this or living in that. And he said, you probably noticed I was looking at you in the waiting room, in the waiting area. And I said, yes, I did. And he said, I asked myself, is she a Christian Catholic? Or she may be, and then he said, no. I said, I think she's a Muslim. And all the discussion started. He immediately, you know what he said? He said, what you are wearing reminded me of Mary.
So
I didn't have to say anything.
So that you didn't even have to say nothing. The Christian priest, he looks at you and said, what you're wearing is reminding me of, obviously, Jesus' mother, Mary.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Christian priest told you this. Wow.
Exactly. And then we went, and the whole discussion was actually about women's rights in Islam. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely. People ask me, right? And sisters ask me, Muslims ask me, why do you do it? My first answer, and I want everyone listening to me, learn this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in your heart as He put it in mine.
Amen.
And I say, why you're wearing your head cover, or why you're wearing your Islamic attire? I say, because Allah asked me to do it. Period. And then they say, is it a choice? This is the second question you always get. And I said, it's your choice and mine to obey Allah or not to obey Him. And I need to be ready at the day of judgment when I'm standing in front of him. And I better prepare a very good answer why I chose not to obey him.
SubhanAllah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We really have to look at Islam. And I think one of the issues, you tackled it in the beginning. I think it's also the way we were taught, or it is being taught. Islam is a personal relationship between you and your Creator. And it's a relationship of love, awe, and there is fear. And not fear from him, subhanah. No, it's fear of lack of his pleasure and love. If you look at your religion this way, so what you cover your hair? So what if you don't get this job because they didn't give it to you? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Everything becomes very trivial. So yes, I've absolutely had this, not recently. And I actually love it, because this is my opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I love it.
Yeah. It just came to my mind. Sorry, last question. But
what do you
say? Because sometimes the head covering has been limited just to the top part. And then you'll see some, unfortunately, someone might have some good intention, but it goes back to what you're saying, the proper knowledge. So you have some sisters who wear this, but everything else is like a skirt or whatnot. How do you address that?
I get this question all the time. Right, is makeup haram? Nail polish? Can I wear jeans? Right?
Yeah.
All these questions, everybody asks it. It's not only men, it's men and women and Muslims and non-Muslims.
Relevant questions for our times. Yeah, it's important, yeah.
And it is very important.
Yeah.
And my answer is, you know what? I always try to avoid the word haram and halal unless it's very clear, especially if you're talking to a person who's not yet grounded. Mm-hmm. I say, always look at the essence of it. What is the word hijab? Right? And look at it in Surah An-Nur, in chapter The Light in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he didn't say the word hijab there in that context. He actually says, don't show your beauty. Right? Don't show your beauty. So I tell the woman, when they tell me, what should I dress? What do I wear? I said, if you are putting anything on your body that is showing the beauty of your body, you're not doing what Allah wants. Done. Why you're putting makeup? To look more beautiful outside. Is that pleasing to Allah? Is that what he said? He said, لا يبدين زينتهن. Don't show your beauty. Nail polish, same thing. So when I say this to all my beautiful sisters, I said, if I see you and I know what size dress you are wearing, then you need to look at, maybe you are not following exactly what Allah wants. لا يشف ولا يهف ولا يصف. It does not describe the body. You cannot say, you cannot see through. And can I be, and this is to the sisters, can I be elegant? Can I be modern? Can I be looking beautiful in the way pleasing to Allah? The answer is absolutely yes. Alhamdulillah, especially these days. But again, is the influences and the priorities. May Allah teach us all. May Allah make things easy for everybody, for Ameen. The men to practice, for the women to practice,
Ameen.
For the children to practice. May Allah, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. You know this dua? Ya Allah, make us love iman. Make us love faith. And beautify Ameen. It in our hearts. And Allah said this in Surah Al-Hadid. And because once I love something, I do it. And you know, when I see someone disobeying Allah, you know what's my dua to that person, she or he? Ya Allah, take the love of this disobedient outside their heart. Because if you don't love it, you don't do it.
Yes. And
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you. Thank you so much. And this is why we're sharing this information and talking to someone like you, is because we want the best for all of mankind, especially our brothers and sisters out there. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing all this important advice.
Jazakallah khair. It's a pleasure. I loved it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah reward you.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair.
People, are you ready for the day?